This is the Real Talk University podcast, where your hosts, Andre and Christian, explore success stories outside of the classroom.
What is going on, Real Talk fam? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Real Talk University podcast. This is Andre, your co-host. Hope you guys have been enjoying the recent episodes of the Real Talk podcast this season. Season 2 has been a really fun one for Christian and I. We've been able to, you know, let loose on a lot more of these interviews than we did in Season 1. Season 1 consisted of us really just kind of, you know, learning the ropes of podcasting, I guess, and getting comfortable in the interview position, asking questions, connecting with these people of high level net worth and all that kind of stuff. So we're in a position now where we're a lot more comfortable with what we do. We're more confident in our skills to interview and ask the right questions. And I think it's definitely reflecting with your guys's opinions and feedback from Season 2 thus far, and really just our enjoyment with the Season 2 interviews so far. And I think you guys will definitely see that in today's episode with Brian Breach, a former musical artist turned viral content maker. This was a really fun interview for us. Brian's got a really unique story. We kind of tripped upon his content in an engagement group on Instagram, and we're really eager to just get him on the podcast to learn more about what he does. And basically just making a living by getting massive social media attention through viral video content, which has gotten him on different publications, news outlets, and very, you know, well-known person around the world now for what he does. And this is a really cool interview because, again, it's someone who had a rough upbringing, not, you know, the most optimistic childhood, but it really just shows that, you know, a few things: skill, hard work, talent, taking risk, being confident in who you are, being unapologetically you, can take you to the next level and can help you to succeed in today's environment. Because this day and age, 2019 going on 2020, is the easiest time to make it big and to be a successful entrepreneur. As we've said countless times, it's just so damn true. You just have to believe it and you have to go all in, because you're going to regret it if you don't. So here are the biggest takeaways from our interview with Brian. So the first takeaway with this episode was that you get one shot at life, so you might as well stay positive and make the most of it. Brian, like we said, had a really rough upbringing, a lot of turmoil and bad times in his young life, but his outlook is still insanely optimistic, and you will see it emulate throughout the episode. So if someone like Brian, who has gone through what he's been through, you'll hear more about his story in the interview. For him, someone like him with what he's gone through, to have that optimism and positivity with all that he's gone through and all that his future might hold, it's just, it kind of will inspire you like it did for us to continue to think bigger, be confident, be optimistic, and just know that there's a greater, a greater plan for you. For whatever you believe in, whether it be God or something else, there's a bigger plan for you. You just have to be confident and make the right decisions. And the second takeaway of this episode was that hustle beats talent every damn time. While the catchphrase might be cliche and overused, it is also incredibly accurate. If someone is better than you at something but fails to work at it, it's only a matter of time before you catch up to them and then pass them by just putting in more time than they are. Does every video Brian make go insanely viral? Nope. But he's willing to put in the time and thought into making new ones constantly, and some have stuck in a big way. So just stay consistent with everything you do. Put in the hard work, and it will pay off. Don't focus on the results. Focus on what you can control, which is the input, the work, the hours, the time, the dedication. The results always come. The third takeaway of this episode was what you put out into the world comes back to you. This is so true. It's like one of the most true things that I've ever heard on the podcast. Is a more commonly used phrase for this, I guess, is the law of attraction in some way. And the name is certainly spot on. If you put out positivity into the world, positive people and things will come right back to you. If you're always miserable and pessimistic, you'll always push the upbeat people out of your life and be left with people who are willing to listen to your grumblings, because that's how they feel. The same is true for success, and in order to find it, you must start constantly looking for ways to have a breakthrough. And I think the biggest way to do this is power of association. But that's just my personal opinion. And the last and fourth takeaway of this episode is if you're not scared, you won't be pushed forward. Brian talked a lot about the comfort zone in this episode. We asked him, you know, what's it like to be a public speaker? What is it like to do these interviews in public? And he said one common trait with everything that he does that has big payoffs and marginal returns is that he's nervous. He's scared. He's not, like, he's fearful of what's going to happen in the heat of the moment every single time. So if you're not scared, if you're not a little bit nervous, if you're not a little bit fearful, then you're not doing it big enough and you're not going to grow from it. So make sure that that's a common pattern with everything you do. Push yourself to seek discomfort. Again, it's something that has been translated in almost all of our episodes and interviews so far. So at this point, it should be drilled into your head. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in to today's episode. Hope you enjoy the full interview with Brian. And as always, hit us up on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever you guys like to use social media. We're there. We're available for feedback, anything you guys need. Hit us up, but enjoy. How's it going, Real Talk fam? I just wanted to jump in here real quick before we start this new episode of Real Talk University with an offer that Christian and I have put together for you guys. Basically, as a thank you for listening and tuning into all of our episodes and supporting us along the way so far. So what we put together is the Podcast Blueprint ebook, which you'll have access to for free. Absolutely free. This is a downloadable PDF containing all the information, actionable steps, tips, resources, everything you need to launch your very own successful podcast in 30 days or less, exactly how Christian and I have done so. After reading our ebook, you'll be able to launch your own podcast today, book your dream guest for your interviews, and get ads and sponsors immediately. To claim your free copy today, visit the link at bit.ly/RTU ebook. That's bit.ly/RTU ebook. EBOOK. Get your free copy today before this offer expires. No, you're good. You're good. We'll get right into it. Won't waste any of your time here. So I'm Andre. I'm here with Christian, co-host of Real Talk University podcast. And great, basically, we keep it simple. We just do interviews with inspiring entrepreneurs to share their stories with our college-based audience on what's possible in 2019 outside of the classroom. So if you just want to introduce yourself, tell a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes, sir. So my name is Brian Breach. And when people ask me that question, I honestly don't know what I even do anymore. I'm all over the place. So did a recent TEDx. I've been shooting a lot of content, funny stuff, social experiments, skits, pranks, all kinds of crazy stuff. Couple went viral. What have I done? What else have I done lately? I'm a serial entrepreneur, I guess you could say. I'm a man of many hats. I've been speaking a lot lately. I got a speaking gig coming up in LA, one in Puerto Rico. I just did Margaritaville, and I'll be in New York on Power 105.1 FM this weekend on Saturday. So yeah, man, I'm all over the place, really.
That's great.
Whenever opportunities are presented, I eat off the plate.
Right. I respect that mentality. Could you just take us through your earlier days, like schooling, maybe if you went to college, and then what you did after that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I knew you guys were going to ask this question. I had this whole thing. I was going to recite the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song and just try to play it off like you guys did. I was literally going to be like, listen, I was West Philadelphia, born and raised. Like, I swear I was going to do it. And then I was like, no, maybe I shouldn't. Anyway,
we would have got the reference though. We would have got
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm glad. So the true story, I guess, I was born in New York. How I like to explain, I was born to a very busy dad, a very abusive mom growing up. And long story short, she was arrested when I was a kid on interstate drug trafficking charges, and she cheated on my dad. And while I was in New York, she, unbeknownst to her, she contracted HIV. Somehow, after all that craziness, she got custody, took us down to Florida. Meets a guy named Jordan. He's like my stepdad at the time, lived with us for 4 or 5 years. He gets murdered in some kind of deal gone wrong. She passes away of AIDS, and then my dad gets custody. He's broke, sleeping on the floor. We live in this apartment in Pembroke Pines, and he meets my stepmom. We move into her house, and she has they find a brain tumor behind her eye. She's out of commission, although he stayed with her. She was out of commission, and then It's just a bunch of crazy stuff happened when I was a kid. And then finally, I graduated. I moved out. My first apartment I had when I was 19. And then just from there, it's been like nonstop trying to make something happen. I've been working since the age of 11 years old. I was a busboy when I was 11, and they fired me because I would not save the uneaten olives and tomatoes off people's plates. I had morals as a child, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't save eaten tomatoes that are bitten into. They wanted me to say anyway. Then I worked as a busboy, dishwasher, every job in a restaurant you can imagine. Then I started working at a telemarketing place. At the age of 21, I became a manager with like 60 people underneath me, most triple my age. You know, so I was running shit at that age. And then my last 9 to 5, 2004 to 2008. In 2006, I had 2 arrests. And in 2008, when I got fired, unrelated to the arrest or anything like that, I couldn't get a job anywhere. So I was thrown to the wolves and forced to go out on my own. And I started hustling from there, just doing everything I can to stay above water, throwing hip hop shows, started a clothing line, started a printing company, started a hip hop blog, started an independent label. Printing business, open studios, and then to a social media business. So I've been 10 years without having an actual 9 to 5 and making it, baby, making it.
I just want to know how you keep a positive mindset. Like, you just told us that story and you just seem like upbeat about it. Like, I don't know how I would be able to be positive about all what you just said.
You know, I guess in a sense, when I repeat the story, I'm almost numb to it by now because it's been so long, you know? So when I sell the story, it's, you know, I don't go back into that place. And I look at life like this, like when you've been through so much negativity, you have no other choice but to be positive. Where else can you go? You either stay negative and don't do anything with your life, or you move forward. All the people that passed away in my life, all the deaths I've seen in my family, you think they want me to sit here and cry about it every day? No, they want me to get my ass up and make something in my life. You only got one shot at this life. You're not going to be here again. Whether you believe in religion, heaven, or hell, whether you believe there's a better place after this or not, on this earth, you have one chance. That's it. You got one life. So you have no other choice but to be positive. I'm not going to spend my days crying and feeling bad for myself when there's so many more people that are doing worse off than me. I was just watching this Bill Gates documentary last night. These people grow up with no running water. These people grow up with having to shit in a bucket, and then they dump it into a stream. You know, my life may have been bad, you know, at the beginning, and you know, and there was tons of good in my life, but there's always someone, unfortunately, doing worse than you, and I'm not gonna complain while I'm here, you know.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's like the game win. Like, that's the best mindset I think like you could ever have. And it's cool how you look at the positives, like throughout that whole story you were telling. Like, you were looking at all the good things that came from it, like having to work at a young age and having to figure it out for yourself, which is, that's awesome. I respect you for that. And I just want
to, if that didn't happen at a young age, maybe I wouldn't have figured out. Maybe I still would. And nothing's wrong with 9 to 5s. Don't get it twisted, but maybe I still would have been sitting in a cubicle, you know what I mean? And then I wouldn't have been able to pursue my dreams all these years, you know? So I gotta find the positive in every little negative situation.
Yeah, so talk about when things like changed for you. Like, you said you had the 9 to 5, you were telemarketing, you were doing really well, you were kind of bouncing around, had some ups and downs with jail time. So when did something finally click in for you with like hip hop and starting your clothing brand? When did something finally happen for you?
You know, it's funny, right off the bat, well, a couple of years later, we started, you know, rapping in high school and stuff. And then couple of years later, my boy was like, hey, I want to form this group called Real Life Dialect. I'm going to get us on some gigs. And then all of a sudden, we just start opening up for everybody. All these like pretty major hip hop artists, people that I used to look up to as a kid. And I'm like, holy shit. And I'm opening up for all these major people. And it started rolling from there. And it was just like, you know, nothing ever clicked for me. I wrote this on my Facebook the other day. I have never been amazing or extraordinary at anything. I have been average or slightly above average at everything, but it's my hustle that gets me through all this stuff. It's my hustle that keeps me moving forward. I'm not extraordinary. When I was rapping, I had plenty of fans. There were a lot of people who loved my music, but for the most part, I didn't look at myself as some extraordinary hip hop artist, but I never stopped and I just kept going and going and going. So that rolled into an independent label. And again, when the independent label happened, I'm like, yeah, I made it. I'm on top of the world. And then that didn't take off. I didn't turn into P. Diddy. And, you know, then I'm like, okay, we're going to do this hip hop blog. Well, it was my one of my best friend and business partner's idea. We ended up getting like 2 million views, but we couldn't figure out how to monetize it, so we kind of stopped. So I was on top of the world with that. And then the next thing, we got this huge 30,000 square foot warehouse, and we started a printing business. We built this amazing studio. I mean, we put so much money into it, and I'm like, I'm on top of the world again. We're going to make it. Boom. The building gets sold out from under us because they were trying to sell the building. I didn't realize it for 9 months. So, you know, everything I do, I think I made it, and then I don't. It wasn't until this very last year, literally the last, like, I don't know, 350 days where things really exploded. And that's what I've been I've had a high off lately.
So take us through some of that, because I know in the recent couple of months or years, you've been doing viral videos and content. So take us through like the creation of it, how it goes viral, what you've like received as benefits from that, things like that.
Absolutely. So I my last project in the music world was called Matter of Fact in 2016. And, you know, I promoted for a while, I think up until like 2017. And I was like, you know, I'm not where I want to be in music, so I got to do something else. The problem was I was already verified on Instagram. I already had a small fan base. I think I was at like 54,000 followers at that time or something like that. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm quitting music. What am I going to do? Am I just going to lose my whole base? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to throw away everything I built here. So I'm like, let me make a transition to these like comedy videos. A lot of people are doing them. I've done them, but I've never posted them. I've had funny skits on my album. So I started doing them right off the gate. Like the first video I did, the shittiest one that I cannot stand, it ends up getting like 178,000 views on Facebook, shared a bunch. I'm like, okay, so 10 years of music or more, and I'm getting average hits on my songs. I'm doing collabs with major people, and I still ain't getting ridiculous hits. I do one stupid ass video about Cardi B, and it got 178,000 views. This is ridiculous. So what happens in the comedy space is like these videos live longer than music. You make a whole album and someone digests that album in a weekend, and that's it. They're done. Then they're on to a next album. With these videos, they just keep getting shared. They can go viral 10 years later. I know it. Hold on one second. Shit. Did I lose you? Okay, there you go. Sorry, call came in. I know this guy. He's actually a fairly well-known actor, and something he shot that his agent got him 10 years ago just went viral, and it's at 5 million views from 10 years ago. So in this world, things are more likely to go viral. So anyway, I wrote on a vision board. I'm like, all right, you just quit music. You got 1 year to go viral in this comedy space world. I got 1 year, and I literally, right at the end of the year, I got the TEDx, and then I did the TED Talk, and then something I did a couple months later went internationally viral, and it made every news station in the country and even beyond the country. And that one got me so many opportunities. It got me all these speaking gigs. It got me, it just got me a ton of stuff. I was just recently on a show called Dining Divas on one of the episodes. I was in this movie called The Unfollow Me Movie. Now I'm working on my own TV show, and all the connections that I made came off this thing going viral. And then I did a fake proposal prank in a Miami Heat game in front of 20,000 people that kind of went viral. And then I put up a billboard of my Photoshop face on a naked body over I-95. And that's what got me on Dining Divas. That's what got me this. I mean, I've done so much crazy stuff in this last year, and I keep trying to up myself, and most of them just keep hitting. And it's been such a blessing. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even believe it. But the cool thing was, the one thing that went viral, I'm so happy that it wasn't some dumb shit. I'm glad it was positive, because I was able to raise $1,000 for kids after it went viral. So I'm glad the one that went like internationally viral wasn't like this stupid Cardi B one. I'm glad it was like a positive force, you know, and inspire people. So at least it was that.
That's amazing. I have like 100 questions after all that.
I got 100 answers, bro.
Awesome. Well, one of the things that caught my attention was you mentioned a vision board. Is that something that you've always used, or was it like recently you started to like use that kind of stuff? And how has it, you know, affected what you do?
No, you always want to surround yourself with people that inspire you, right? And one of my best friends, Lex One, he was always on that vision board tip. He was way ahead of his time. When I'm like just catching up to social media and Instagram coming out and all this stuff, he's already got it up on his screen, downloaded 5,000 followers. You know, I'm like, geez, he's way ahead of his game. So I remember one day we're sitting at our, when we had this big old warehouse, he's like, bro, we all need to make vision boards. I was like, a vision board? What's a vision board? He's like, put everything you want in this life on this board, and you make it happen in a year. So ever since then, I've been doing it. And I need to be reminded a lot why I'm doing what I'm doing, because sometimes we forget what our mission is. So I need things around my house that have to do with motivation, you know? So when I wake up in the morning in my room, the first thing I see is 7 whiteboards. So I got my clients on one, I got notes on another, in front of me, I got all the stuff I need to do. And I have this all in my Google calendars too, but I need to wake up and see it. I need my brain to be sparked by something every day. And that's what's going to remind me to keep going forward. So the vision board started, I'd say, in 2012-ish or something like that.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to start doing that.
You got to do it. You have to visualize things first for them to come true, or they're not going to happen. A lot of times when you put things out in the universe and you just start going down the path of it, things will happen. You put out the right energies, things will happen. If you start going out and beating people up on your college campus, what's going to happen? Negative shit's going to come at you. Someone's going to beat you up. You'll probably get arrested. But if you go out on the college campus, you start handing out $100 bills and you start helping people, guess what? People are going to help you, give you money back in return. Whatever you put out comes back.
That's so true. That's why I just always like try to be of service and give value to others without like expecting anything in return. And that kind of leads to the one prank video you did, like faking, like where you were like faking being a homeless guy. Like, could you talk a little bit about that and how you got the idea to do that and like what it did for your career, I guess?
Crazy. So yeah, I every Christmas I like to do something positive. So a couple Christmases ago, I went to McDonald's and I bought 100 hamburgers. And then me and my boys went to downtown Fort Lauderdale and we popped the trunk and we handed out food and stuff like that. So every year I try to do something in the positive realm. So that last year, it was the day before Christmas or the day before that, or the day before Christmas Eve, I think. I woke up and I usually like to just kind of trigger my mind by reading something real quick or going on Facebook. I know that's not, some people recommend not to do that, but I do it just because I need information quick to get my brain stimulated. So I saw this video where I think how he did it was, it was like a rich guy and he gave a homeless person money to give to other homeless people. I think that's what it was. So I remember seeing the video. I'm like, damn, that's really inspiring. Like, I feel like I need to do something. So I'm glad I saw that video, because if I swear to God, if I would have passed by that video and saw some stupid other shit, it would never have happened. That was the only thing that inspired me that morning. So usually when I do these videos that I do, and I did this other social experiment where I went into a mall and pretended to be massively famous and hundreds of people, I mean, it was the most craziest thing I've ever seen. I had hundreds of people asking for my autograph, hundreds of people asking for pictures. I got escorted out by security because they thought I was that famous. It was the most craziest thing I ever did. Anyway, that took me weeks of planning. Okay. All these videos I do, I usually plan them out for weeks, like Miami Heat video, weeks. This video, I woke up and I'm like, I think I'm going to do this today. And I called my videographer and she was actually at some dinner in Miami or lunch in Miami. And I didn't think she was going to make it. And she's like, I'll be there in 2 hours. I was so shocked, because if anything, if I didn't see the video, if she didn't make it, and none of it would have happened. So I went to Walgreens. I got a cardboard box. I wrote on it, please help my family during the holidays. And we went to this one area and nothing happened. Literally, nobody gave me money. No one even looked at me. No one even gave a shit. And I'm like, damn it, this isn't going to work. She goes, no, we need to go over to Target. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stand right in front of Target where people are coming in and out. So we went over to Target. I stood there. I got like 5 amazing reactions. One guy was told me, like, his son was with him. And when I gave him the $100 bill in return after they gave me a dollar, he's like, thank you for doing this. This is a really teachable moment. I had another guy start crying and he gave me a hug. He's like, I'm going to give this money back. I'm going to give this money back to someone who needs it, which meant a lot to me. And during that, some guy walks up to me. He's like, "Hey, I recognize you from your videos, man." I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You're blowing my cover, bro. Get out of here. So, and then, you know, I just got all kinds of reactions. So I was trying to think where I'm going to send this video. Like, you know, every time I have a video in my hand, I try to think where I'm going to send it. So I thought to myself, I'm like, this is a really feel-good story. Maybe, just maybe, a long shot. Maybe Channel 7 will post it. So I emailed it to him as like a news tip. I'm like, hey, I don't know if you guys would like the story, but it's a feel-good story. See what happens. I sent it to Channel 7. I got a call. I got an email like at 10 at night. I was laying in my boxers in my bed. And they're like, hey, can you meet us at Target in 20 minutes? I'm like, oh, shit. So I didn't even email them back. I waited 20 minutes. I got fully ready. And then I emailed them, yes, I'm heading over. And then they did an interview. And by the next day, my cousin's sending me a video that I'm on Fox News primetime. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, my cousin's famous, man. I'm like, holy shit. And then I got calls from CNN, Fox, MSNBC, Yahoo, Radio.com, Inside Edition. I got calls from almost every station in the country. And then just for 4 days, it exploded. I got messages from Russia, Greece, Sweden, Hawaii. It was bananas. And that got me all kinds of opportunities. I got to speak in the Hamptons about how to go viral. I got to, and then I got NetCon in LA and all these other things I'm doing. So most every opportunity came originally from that. Although it wasn't just that. I had to keep pushing. I had to keep shooting more videos. I had to put up that damn billboard. I had to do a prank at the Heat Arena. You know, I had to keep doing all kinds of crazy stuff to keep going bigger and bigger. And now things are finally rolling, you know, all from a positive social experiment.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm just wondering, like, where do you get the confidence to portray these, like, people you're not, like, being a famous person or acting homeless? Because I feel like if you're able to do that in front of a lot of people, then you can obviously be yourself in front of people and give a great, like, speech or keynote. So what do you do to prepare for that?
All right, I will be totally honest with you. I told myself when I'm going to do all this stuff, okay, first of all, I'll be honest with you. I get nervous no matter what I do. When I did the homeless thing, when I did that thing at the Heat Arena, my heart was racing. When I did my TEDx, I wanted to throw up. And when I put up that billboard, I was like sick to my stomach. But what I've learned in this last year, that if you are not scared to do something, it's not going to make you move forward. You will not progress. Like, you know, I mean, people talk about skydiving and they're terrified, but once you do it, you have this feeling. Everything I've done and everything I continue to do, I have to make sure that I'm so fucking nervous or I'm not going to do it. If it's something that I'm super comfortable with, I know it's not going to go far, because everything that I've done that has made me sick to my stomach has worked. So that's my philosophy. Even when I speak to this day, I just spoke in Margaritaville. It was my biggest crowd yet. There are like, I don't know, 200-300 people there. And, you know, I was actually more calm because I'm used to speaking now, but I still get those knots. I'm like, oh, I got knots. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. And you know what it is? It's almost like acting. You have to have like an out of body experience. You have to play a role while you're doing it. So when I did that mall thing, I was like, yo, we're going to get kicked out of the mall or arrested. I don't know what's going to happen. And I stood at this pavilion, this kiosk, and I had two of my actors come up to me and go, oh my God, it's Brian Braach. And that's all it took. And I was so nervous and I was like sweating. And then all of a sudden 100 people are lined up. And then I just got in the groove. I think you get nervous at first and then the nerves drop. And then you just, you know, you have it, you got it, you know? But the funny part about that one was my mouth was so dry and I needed water. And I kept telling my fake bodyguard, I'm like, hey bro, can you go get me water? I was like, I know you ain't my real bodyguard, but you get me water. He's like, I ain't got no money on me. I was like, I ain't got it. We're whispering this while hundreds of people are waiting to sign my autograph. I was like, fuck. I was like, yo, my mouth is mad dry, bro. I need water. And I was like, going to pass out. But I'm like, just thug through it, bro. This is the greatest day of your life. Just get through it. And we got through it. The first world problems right there. Water.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I think I'm like a smaller like scale. Andre and I, like, at least I get nervous sometimes before an interview starts. But then once like the conversation kicks off, it's just like any normal day, you know?
Right. You learn how to control it. I you know, I even protested my billboard and I was nervous. I did a protest of my own billboard and it was hilarious. It was crazy, bro. Everything I do, I get nervous for. People, like, even during my TEDx, everyone's like, "You, oh my God, you look so calm, cool, and collected." I was like, if you only knew that I had no saliva in my mouth about 6 minutes in, I couldn't breathe. I was literally halfway hyperventilating. Because during a TEDx, it's not like these other talks where you could chill. Yeah. They wouldn't even let me bring water on the stage. They're like, nope, 12 minutes verbatim, go. Spotlight, 200 people in the audience. And this is TEDx. They have 11 million YouTube subscribers. I'm like, if I fuck this up, they're not going to put it on there. So I'm putting all this pressure on myself. And not only that, they told me I had to do they asked me to do a spoken word rap piece before the entire event to open up the TEDx. So I was on double duty. Not only did I do my TEDx for 12 minutes, but then I had to open the entire event up in front of everybody that had no clue anyone was going to be rapping. And then I came up there and did a spoken word for a minute and a half to start it off. And my heart was like, go, 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 go. But hey, man, we get through it. I like to be honest. I don't want to, most people like to lie and be like, yes, I do this. I can handle anything. No, man, I can handle anything, but I'm nervous through it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's dope. And then on the flip side, like when you see a video that you made air on like national news, what does that feel like? Because if a piece of art went like viral, that would be just insane.
I couldn't even believe it. Like, I could not believe what was happening. Because I wrote on a vision board, I wrote the words, go viral in 1 year, and I wrote the exact month. And like, I don't know, it was like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or 2 weeks prior to that day. But when I got the message from my cousin filming the station, and he's like, and then he texts me, he goes, you're on Fox. I said, oh, I'm probably on like Fox Local, like Fox 29, Fox Local affiliate. No, you're on Fox. You're on main Fox News right now. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it was just mind blowing. Like, I couldn't believe I was getting messages from morning till night for 4 days from everywhere, all over the place. I'm going into restaurants and people are like, hey, aren't you the dude that did the homeless social? People to this day, a lot of people don't recognize my face from it. But I was at a party the other day, and the subject came up, and they're like, wait a second, you're the guy who did the homeless social experiment last Christmas? I remember that story! You know, and like, it's embedded in people's minds because it went everywhere, but it was such an amazing feeling, more so because it was a positive story. You know, that's what made me, it inspired people. So it wasn't that, I'm like, oh my God, people know me! You know what I mean? It was more like, all right, good. A good story got out there, and I was happy about that.
That's so cool. And you've had a lot of these instances where videos of yours have gone viral. Is there like a key theme or like a key learning that's consistent in each and one, like each and every one of these videos that you like apply going forward? Or
yeah, I make sure I'm going to throw up before I do them. Like, I make sure I'm going to be so, no, that was what we just talked about before. But no, you know, honestly, the three big ones I did, I sat down and I tried to formulate how I can go bigger. You know what I mean? Like, how do you top a video that goes internationally viral? Like, how do you top that? There's no way. You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, now people are expecting this crazy shit. Like, I got to the point where I was like, freak, people are expecting this stuff of me now. Like, I have to go bigger. So I'm like, so we were planning this Miami Heat prank for months and we didn't get the connection to the Jumbotron. I tried so hard, man. Like, I reached out to someone who I already knew went on the Jumbotron for proposing to his girl, and he would not give me the connection. I wrote him, and he goes, are you doing a real proposal, or are you just going to do a prank? And I was like, it's going to be a prank. He's like, sorry, man, I can't give up my connections for that. And I'm like, you ass. So just random luck, my videographer was doing something with a client and overheard them talking about the Heat games. And anyway, we planned that for weeks and weeks. But anyway, the point is to keep upping yourself, to try to go bigger and better. And not every time the bigger ones are going to, you know, are going to be the best ones, but the Miami Heat one was just perfect. How bigger can you get on top of something that just went viral than fake proposing to your girl, dropping the ring, or having her walk out on you in front of 20,000 people on the Jumbotron? How can you get bigger than that? You know what I mean? And then putting up a billboard for 1 month and 1 week over 95 with your Photoshop face on a naked man's body. I mean, you can't get bigger than that. So I just keep trying to up myself, you know. And then, you know, I'm not one thing, you know. Nobody knows me for just being a prankster. Nobody knows me for just going viral. I'm known now for rapping, for my TEDx. People are introducing me only as a TED Talk speaker. Some people are introducing me as that viral guy. Some people are talking to me as, oh, this guy does keynotes. It's crazy. Like, I'm not introduced the same way at any event I go to. Everywhere I go, when somebody wants to, like, present me to someone, they introduce me as a different thing. It blows my mind. And I like it, you know? But marketing, people are like, no, man, you need to brand yourself. You need to do one thing. You need to stop doing. I'm like, I hear you, but I can't be one thing. I don't want to be one thing. I like to have my hands in all pots. I'm about to do some real estate deal coming up. I don't care if they know me as a real estate mogul if I'm doing well, you know? Fuck it, you know?
Facts. Nah, it's facts. So what would you say your purpose is, or like your passion?
Well, like purpose on earth?
Yeah, or like what are you passionate about? Like if there's one thing you could point out.
You know what it is? I think I'm naturally born with a gene to help people, you know? Like I feel it. It's not like a thing that I had to learn. It's in me. It's instilled in me. I don't know what it is, but from a young age, you know, like, maybe I watched my dad do it, or maybe he did teach me. I just can't remember the real conversations, but I just remember open a door for a girl. I remember if a older person dropped something or cane, go fucking pick it up. Like, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, and I see so many people not doing these things. And I truly believe that we're put here on this earth, whether you believe in God or not, makes no difference. We're here for a short time. you cannot be on this earth to be selfish. There's no reason for it. We have to help people. You know what I mean? Like, everybody is here for a short time. So we need to do our best to make everyone's life better. So, you know, if I had to put my finger on it, my goal is to really get bigger and bigger so I can turn it into helping people. Yes. Do I want to be a little selfish? Fuck yeah. I struggled half my life. Do I want a huge house? Yeah, I fucking do. Do I want to drive a Bentley one day? You know what? I damn sure do. But you know what? As I keep growing and getting bigger, I'm going to help as many freaking people as I can. I'm going to inspire people. You know what I spend? You know what I spend about 2 hours doing a day? Writing people back in my DMs, guiding them in everything. I don't know. People just come to me for advice and I love it. You know what I mean? Like, I had some kid in high school talking about, hey, there's this girl. He's being dead serious. Hey, there's this girl I really like. I really don't know how to approach her. I left her a note in my locker. And it's weird. I'm a grown man giving a 15-year-old advice about meeting a girl in the hallway. Do I feel bad? No, I'm helping the kid. Obviously, his parents ain't around or he would go ask them. I just had some guy when I was speaking in Margaritaville. What I say at the end of my talks, I'm like, hey, if you guys have any questions, I will guide you and I will help you as best as I can. Some people take it a little too far and it's like, hey, man, can we meet this week and have a 4-hour meeting? I'm like, you know, I typically will charge somebody for that. But I will spend 2 hours a day in my DMs giving advice about love, depression. I've had at least minimal 4 people in my inbox talk about suicide to me. I am not a suicide prevention coach, bro. I am scared to give people advice on suicide, but I will sit there and do my freaking best. And I have. I've literally sat there with a kid talking about wanting to kill himself, talking about why we need to live, why we need to go on. And I have no qualifications for that. But what am I supposed to do? Not help the kid? Am I supposed to not try to talk somebody out of that? You know what I mean? So I believe in doing good in this life. And that's, I believe that's a big purpose of mine. I feel it every day I wake up.
That's
unbelievable. That was a long-winded answer.
No, it was perfect though. And that's so cool. Like, it, especially with us, like, you got back to our DMs like within like half an hour, which like shocked me.
Yeah, I'm always on top of it, man. I believe that. Even with comments, man, if somebody takes a minute out their day to want to ask me on their podcast, like, people have wrote me, like, they have like 200 followers and they have a podcast and they're like, oh, I never thought you would write back or even want to be on my podcast. Why? How do I know you guys, you both in this room, are not going to be the next Bill Gates? How do I know that? How do I know you guys aren't going to have the biggest podcast in the game? You know what I mean? And if somebody gives a shit enough to hear about my story, then I'm going to tell it. And I appreciate that stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. And that just kind of reminded me, that whole spiel for the last few minutes, of that one story you shared with Brad Lee about the car brakes. Could you share that quick with our audience, just because it's like,
bro,
super inspiring?
Yeah. That story literally changed my life. I swear to God, I've never had a story impact me. I've never had a situation impact me so great in my life, almost to the point where I still, like, I'm getting choked up thinking about what happened that day. You know what I mean? It's crazy to me. So long story short, I made one small mistake on that story. I wasn't 21. I remember being 23. I remember saying I was 21, but I was 23. So long story short, I had no brakes on my car. I was working at Olive Garden at the time. I had no money. I was literally making like $60 every other day or a day or whatever. And I drove my car to the point where the brakes fell out. I remember the day. I heard them go clink, 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 clink. I'm like, oh my God, I have no brakes in my car. So I have no money to fix it. So I drove around on my emergency brake for weeks, to the point where it almost caught on fire. And I know that because that's what Firestone told me. Firestone. Did I say Pep Boys or Firestone? I think it was Firestone. I woke up that morning and my car doesn't start. So my girl has to jump me. And then I'm getting ready to leave. Her car doesn't start. I have to jump her. So we literally jumped each other. Not in a sexual way, but maybe later on. But yeah, so we jumped one another, right? And the funny part was, and here was the whole key, that I had an appointment. I made an appointment to get my brakes fixed. I wasn't going to show up. I made an actual appointment for a specific time. So had I made that appointment time, that guy would not have been there at that moment. So I get there and I drop my car off. They take it in, they come back out. They go, excuse me, sir, your car is almost on fire. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you have no brakes, bro. He's like, you've been driving on the e-brake. Your car's almost on fire. And he says, we can't give your car back to you. Do you know what it is as a 23-year-old guy who has no money, is working at the Olive Garden, and they tell you we can't give your car back? I was like, no, give me my car back. He's like, we can't. We'll get in trouble. If you die on the road, we'll get in trouble. So I put my head on my counter. I'm like almost tearing up, and I hear this angel voice. Like, this guy's like standing next to me. He goes, "Don't worry about it. I got you." And I was like, I look at the guy and I'm like, "What do you mean you got me?" And he's like, "I'm going to take care of it." I was like, "You're going to take care of what?" Because in what earth does somebody offer to pay that much money for somebody else's brakes? So I was like, "You're going to take care of what?" He goes, "I'm going to take care of your brakes today." I'm like, "I can't let you do that, man. Cause I'm a prideful person. I can't just take from people, you know?" So, he goes, "How much is it?" "It's $1,200. He goes, "I'm going to take care of it." I said, "Look, I'll work for you. I'll pay you back. Give me your number, all your information, whatever. And I'm just rambling. And he goes, "Listen, this is all I want from you. I don't want any of that. You don't have to pay me back. You don't have to work for me. All I want from you is that when you're in a position one day to help people, that you're going to do the same thing for them. Promise me." And I was like, "Absolutely." He gives them a card. He pays $1,200 for my brakes. And the crazy part of the story is that we did not even see the guy leave. Like, we both, me and the guy behind the counter, we wanted to go like run out to see if he was a rich man, you know, if he was driving a Maserati. I never saw him leave. I never even seen him leave the damn store. I don't know. We blinked and he was gone. So he fixes my brakes. A miracle happens. And then, long story short, years later, I become my boy Lex, one that I had referenced earlier in the story. He became friends with a woman named Omira. Omira married this guy named George. I started working with Omira in a printing company. I even flew to LA, stayed with Omira and George. It wasn't until like a couple of years ago that I realized that the guy behind the counter is a guy that I've been friends with for years. And I never remembered or put the face together that he was the man behind the counter. And one day we were just randomly talking about it. He's like, "Yeah, I used to work at Firestone at Pep Boys." And I'm like, "Wait a second. Do you remember an incident where a kid came in there and some guy paid for his brakes?" He goes, "Yeah, that was me." I was like, "That was me." And we've been friends for years. So we experienced this together. And then coincidentally, through the course of events, me and the guy who experienced this miracle became friends. I mean, the story was insane. Like, so to this day, I will always help people, not only because of that story, just because of how I am, but that story has inspired me and will continue to inspire me.
Yeah, that's, I don't even know what to say to that. Like, just,
I can't, yo, it blows my mind. Like, $1,200 wow. A stranger gave me. I want to go on the Ellen show so bad and say this to the world and try to find this guy, bro. Like, I would give anything to meet this man.
Wow.
I don't know how I could find him, you know what I mean? But I think the Ellen show would be the only thing that would do it.
Facts.
Yeah, that's incredible. Okay, so I don't really like – that was probably the most impactful we're going to get. So let's just lighten up with like for the future of what you want to do with your viral videos and stuff. Like, do you plan on like collaborating with any big influencers or making like a video with somebody like Brother Nature, something like that, just to make it pop off more?
I actually collab with – you guys know who Dom Benjamin is? He was in Ariana Grande's last video. He was on America's Top Model, whatever. So anyway, he's with this crew of guys. They storm, and who are all those viral guys? Hannah Stocking and all those big names or whatever. So we collabed. I flew to LA. He got 2 million followers. I shot with him. Do I want to collab more? Absolutely. I just shot a skit with Christine Karam from the host of Dining Divas TV show. I'm going to continue to. But my main goal right now, other than all the speaking stuff, is I came up with an idea for a reality show. I can't talk about the premise, but I'm going to go so hard at that. I want the show to happen so bad, because for the climate right now, it's so perfect, and it has to do with all this viral stuff, and it's what I want to focus on. So I will continue to shoot these skits, and I will do some more social experiments, but I want to put all my energy and focus into this TV show and try to be the host of it. So I'm writing the show myself, and I want to host the show. So that way, it's like, I like to put myself on. I am so sick and tired of waiting for opportunities to come my way. I'd rather put myself on, like I did with these hip hop shows back in the day. We stopped waiting for people to book us, and we became the promoters, and we booked our damn selves. So, hey, nobody wants to put me on TV, with the exception, not that anyone's turned me down. I haven't really tried, but, you know, I'm not going to wait around to try to get booked on something. I want to create my own damn TV show and put myself on, you know? And that goes for you guys in the future too. Don't always wait for people to put your podcast on. Put your damn self on, you know? So that's my focus right now.
Yeah, that's dope. I think if you just want something done, the only way to really ever get it done is to just do it yourself, like you said. So
it's true. Like, yeah. Nike slogan is the best slogan on planet Earth. Just do it. There's people are like, "What's the key? What's the key to getting stuff done?" What do you mean? Just fucking do it. There is no key. sitting around talking and thinking and waiting and contemplating. And I do this a lot. I blame myself. Sometimes I get too much of my thought. Sitting around waiting and talking, do it. That does nothing. It accomplishes nothing. Do it. Pick up a pen, write it out, and go do it.
Yeah, we interviewed this guy, Sam Bakhtiar, recently. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's like a big fitness coach.
I'm speaking with him in Puerto Rico.
That's dope. He basically just told us, like, if you just keep learning and, like, processing information and aiming and never shoot, like, there's really no point at all to even, like, getting all that information. Like, just...
It makes no difference, bro. Yeah. You know what? Forget talent. Hustle trumps talent any day of the week. So you could be the best singer. You can have the voice of an angel. But if you're lazy and you don't go out and try to hustle and do shows and start from the bottom, I don't give a shit if you are better than the Beyonce. You know what I mean? It makes no difference. But somebody with an average voice, but a massive hustle that's in the game, networking, in the studio, she's going to go blow up before this other Beyonce over here because she got the hustle. Hustle trumps talent any day of the week. And that's what I was saying about myself earlier. I never thought I had immense talent. I think I'm smart, but I don't think I have immense talent in anything. I grab onto one thing and I pound the pavement. Everything I've ever done, I've had to hustle for. Nothing has ever been handed to me in a way like, oh, here's a viral video. You know, it took me a fucking year of shooting videos over and over and over, spending thousands and thousands of dollars for something to hit. Music, thousands upon thousands of dollars to mix the album. The studio we did, 3 months of painting, growing it. I mean, geez, everything I've done, I had to start from scratch, you know? And that's how you get things done in this life, unless you have, you know, unless you're born into to Steve Jobs' family, you know what I mean?
That's like us, because we've done this podcast coming up on a year now for free. We've interviewed guys like you, just top level entrepreneurs and influencers. We haven't really asked for anything in return.
Oh, yeah.
We're just trying to build a brand and wait for one big thing to happen, and we know it's eventually going to happen. We're not ever going to give up on it. So.
Oh, absolutely, man. Start branding it. You know, start. Maybe put your logo in the back, start getting sponsors. Oh, you already got it on your shirt. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys already have the distribution, but you put it on Spotify, you put it on iTunes, all that good stuff. And then people will, you know, if it starts picking up, getting views, people will put money behind you guys, you know?
Exactly. We actually, I mean, this is more of a lighthearted interview. So we actually got on the top 100 charts for like a few days for the business category. And we got.
Yeah.
And we got approached for a sponsorship offer from a sex toy company. So,
no way. Are you serious?
Shit. It was a legit one. It was one of the big ones.
Damn. So they're like, we see two young guys and we're a sex toy company. Let's get them. I wonder, like, what their thought process was. Maybe because of college, right? College kids.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Party. Sexual crazy shit going on. Who knows?
Yeah. I can't think of the name, but it was like one of the most like well-known ones. But they basically just said like for $150 an episode, do like a 45-second ad read, and we're just
bro. They sent like a mock ad read. I couldn't. I was done.
What was it? What was it,
bro? I could try to pull it up. Wait, what was the name of the company? Hold on.
Adam and Eve. Yeah, it was Adam and Eve.
Hi, would you like a big clock? We have cocks from 8 inches to 12 inches. Buy our cocks today. I'm sure it wasn't that dramatic. Sorry.
We'll try to pull it up real quick.
Okay,
just
play it around.
No, you're good.
Would you like the best vibrator in the game? Contact vibrators.com.
Yeah, we're trying to find it. Like, we politely declined, but I don't know. We felt like if we just accepted the very first one that was, like, at that level, it would just be, like, reaching for it. So we just declined it. But it was really funny to have that offer.
But you know what? That's good. First of all, you got some interest, number one. Number two, you know what? You guys learned a very valuable lesson. You know what that lesson is? You were not afraid to turn something down.
Right.
You have to know your value and know your worth. And I've turned down so much shit because they didn't want to, you know, not that I'm about money, but there are certain things that I feel like I should be paid for. And I've had to turn many of opportunity down because I wasn't getting paid for it. You know what I mean? And sometimes you got to turn some things down.
Absolutely. And we just felt like even though we would get paid like a small sum of money a week, it would just like make us look like sellouts and just not really, it wouldn't fit the message of our podcast at all.
So yeah, a sex toy is not going to fit the message of your stuff.
I don't know what podcast that would fit. Maybe like Call Our Daddy or something like that. But
Try our primary lube. It's hand sanitizer. I'm just fucking around. I just, all right, it was like our,
It was like a Christmas special. This shit was weird. I was reading it. And I was like, my friend.
You have sex during Christmas? Try our lube.
My friend like offered to read it for us. I was just like, nah. I wouldn't be able to do it without laughing. He's like, yo, just give me some money and I'll read it for you guys.
That's so awesome, bro. That's so awesome.
Oh, so yeah, I appreciate you being cool with this. It's been fun. We're gonna move into the lightning round, and then we're gonna let you get back to work. The first question is just, do you have any questions for us before we move forward?
No, I guess my only question was what the sex toy commercial was about.
We'll get back to you on that on DM.
Oh yeah, I got a question for you guys. What are you guys majoring in?
Just like marketing.
Yeah. There you go. Boom. That's good. That's the way of the world, baby.
Yeah, I'm in accounting at MIS. Yeah, I mean, like for us, we're at a state school and we don't really pay too much money to go here, and the connections we make are pretty invaluable, so we might as well just get a college degree. No point in not, like, no harm in doing it, whether we go into our own endeavor or not. I mean, keeps the options open.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Keep that option open, and if you guys start, you know, being super entrepreneurs, and 2 years in, you find a niche in a business, or this podcast blows up, man, you have it, you know, so you're good to go. What state are you in?
Binghamton, New York. It's like right the southern part of New York, upstate, like near Pennsylvania. It's like northwest of New York City.
Oh, nice. You ever heard of Power 105.1 FM? They're like the second big, the Breakfast Club and Charlamagne the God and Angie Martin.
Oh, yeah, Charlamagne.
Yeah, not on his show, but I'll be in New York Saturday on Power 105.1, Power 105.1 FM. They wanted to interview me, so I'm flying my ass out there, you know?
That's sweet. Will it be on like YouTube and all that?
Yeah, it'll be on their station, but I'm bringing my videographer, so every time I do an interview, when I was on Bradley, I always have a videographer, so I'll post it. Yeah,
keep us posted on that. We'll check it out.
Absolutely, man. So all I guess that's my questions for the day for you guys.
All right, so
lightning round.
Yeah, the next one's pretty deep. Might take you a second. So if you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Woo. Okay. All right. So number one, I have a great grandfather. His name is Joseph Hyman, right? He was born in 1898 and he lived to 2002. So he was 104. This guy survived the Holocaust. He deflected from the story that he told me. He went AWOL on the Russian army because they were committing atrocities. They came to his house to kill him, and he fled out the back with his wife. You know, long story short, he made it to America, and that's probably the only reason why I'm alive. So if I didn't get a chance to like really go into the story because he told me when he was already older, but if I could sit down with him, I 1000% would sit down with him and have a conversation. Number two, I would sit down with Meyer Lansky. So Meyer Lansky was, if you guys are familiar with mafia stories, he was like the accountant in the sense of the mob. He grew up with Lucky Luciano, the era of Al Capone and all that. He was less the violent guy, but he was the brains behind everything. He was the one that organized the modern day mob to taking out the violence after his crew committed tons of violence. He took out the two number one mob bosses in that era, Maranzano and I forgot who the other one was, but he was just a brilliant genius guy. He was one of the only members of the mob to never really do real time in jail. So anyway, I would love to just sit down with him just to pick his brain about that era, because I just love mafia stuff. And then the third, who would I sit down with? I think probably someone that's alive today, someone I can get valuable from. You know, I don't know. Maybe I just started watching a documentary on Bill Gates, Inside Bill Gates' Brain. It just popped up on Netflix. I would actually really like to sit with him, maybe into Steve Jobs if I could bring him back. But from what I'm hearing about Bill Gates, like, and you know, I knew about him. I know who he is. I know what he's done, but I never really watched a documentary about him. And the guy just digests books like full books in an hour. You know, he's reading couple books a day, and he just has this brilliant mind. So I would love to sit down with someone like that, you know, someone in that of that caliber.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, facts. Those are all great answers. That's dope. So the next one is, if you're in college right now, like our situation, what kind of side hustle would you start, and how would you go about starting it?
Oh man, don't let me get into stuff I used to do. Okay, so you're on a college campus, right? And what kind of side hustles would you do? You know what I would do if I were you guys? It's very easy nowadays to make money off social media. And I spend a lot of time growing people's Instagrams and stuff like that. You know, you guys know a lot about the game. You already started your own podcast. So maybe there's tell me right now, there's not a ton of college students out there right now that want to get into podcasting. even I wanted to get into it at some point. And what I would do is maybe you guys could package an e-course on how to start a podcast, how to get distribution, how to possibly get sponsors, because you already learned what it takes to get a sponsor, even though you didn't use the Lube company. So maybe you go around campus, talk about your podcast, and anyone that mentions, oh man, I want to start my own. Hey man, you know, shoot us $50, shoot us $100, and I'll give you a whole damn course. I'll show you exactly how to start your podcast. You're in the epicenter of business minds. You know what I mean? You're in marketing, you're in accounting, you're doing your thing. You guys are in the middle of everyone doing the same stuff. A lot of people want to do podcasts. Maybe you guys should start a little side hustle trying to do that. Or if you want to go the old school route, you know, literally buy bottles of water for 50 cents, buy candy for 50 cents. That's what I used to do. Not in college, but I used to do it in elementary, high school, middle. I used to flip candy, man, freaking go out and sell a Butterfinger for $2 from the kids in your hallway, you know? But now that we're geared towards social media, if I were you guys, I would gear it around that, you know, have somebody pay you to teach them how to do a podcast. You guys are already 1 year in the game. You know the game, you know what I'm saying? So that could be a little side hustle right there.
Absolutely. We actually have done that for free. Also, like a couple of weeks ago, we did a workshop on how to start your own podcast. And then
So start doing workshops and then even one-on-ones, or do a workshop and anyone wants to go further out with a one-on-one, then you charge them, or charge, take a Venmo or a PayPal and be like, hey guys, super cheap workshop, $5, everybody. Bro, who doesn't want to pay $5 to get in a workshop to learn how to do a podcast? I would. But if you get 50 people, that's what? My math is bad, but hey, account, $250, right?
Yep.
All right, bro, charge $5 for a workshop. You got 10 people in there, you make $50. You do this a couple times a week or once every 2 weeks, bro, you're making little amounts of money. You don't touch that money. You put it aside, you save it to blow up your podcast.
Yeah, we've even been thinking about how to like leverage the people we've met, like you and people like Sam, to hop on maybe a mastermind call in the future as well. So definitely exploring that aspect. So here's the last one before we wrap it up. What's one thing that you know today that you wish you knew when you were 19?
Oh my God, I have so many. Okay. There's actually a song about that. You guys ever heard the song? I wish I knew what I know now when I was probably
no.
So, yeah, there's a whole song about that. This shit was like way before my time too. So if I could do anything over and I can give you guys advice on what to do now, don't waste your money on bullshit. I would, if I would have saved all the money from when I was 11, when I was 13 years old, I had from washing dishes, I had $800 in cash under my bed. As a 13-year-old to have $800, I remember buying my stepmom a $200, $300 bracelet. So if I could go back in time, I would save that money from 11. I wouldn't waste it on sneakers or dumb shit, whatever I was buying. 13, 15, 16. I would have at least started a savings account. I didn't learn savings and I didn't learn credit. I love my dad to death, but he didn't teach me about bank accounts. He didn't teach me about credit. I didn't start fixing my credit till the last 3-4 years. Now I'm at a 780 from a 580. If I would have knew about credit, I would have leveraged my credit way earlier. I would have had a savings account set up way earlier. Would have had one or two credit cards, only putting gas on it. And I would save every damn dollar I've ever had. I would have been a multi-millionaire by now if I would have started saving at the age of 19, 18. And not all of it, you know, spend your money, have fun, but just take 20% of your paycheck, 30% of whatever you're making, throw it in an account, and I would never have touched it. And bro, I would have grown that money to great heights.
That's awesome advice. Yeah, that's one thing I definitely struggle with. So I'll
trust me. We all struggle with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, start saving, man. Put a little bit away and tuck it away. And people don't realize time flies. You're going to be like, no, but I need the money. Oh, yeah? Bro, 10 years will pass in one blink. You don't realize, bro, you guys were just 8 years old and now you're in college. Think about that. You were just 8, 9, 10. Now you're in college. So imagine how fast 10 years will pass. And imagine if you save $50 a week for the next 10 years and you just never touch that money. Bro, you will be set. Then you'll be able to get investment properties 2-3 at a time, you know, when you're 10 years from now. So if I would have, bro, I would have given anything to learn this stuff earlier. And I would invest in real estate way earlier. I'm just starting to try to get into it, you know?
For sure. That's awesome advice. And for people out there that want to just follow you, I know you got a lot of projects going on, always have some awesome videos coming out. Where could they find you?
You could find me at Instagram is usually my primary hub, Brian Breach. Twitter, Brian_Breach. YouTube, BrianBreach03, Facebook, BrianBreach03, MySpace. No, I'm kidding. No, MySpace. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Dope. Well, that wraps it up for us. We'll definitely keep in contact with when the episode's coming out.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.